GM stands for Germany's Mad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. General Motors may be days away from bankruptcy. Meanwhile, the fate of GM's European division got even more uncertain last night. European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us from London. Stephen, the talks in Berlin over who's going to buy that European division have broken down. What happened?
Just before the talks began, GM suddenly revealed that it needed an extra $400 million in cash to keep Opel going. The German government described that as an outrage. So clearly that meeting started with tempers fraying and nerves jangling.
So what are the odds that Germany's outrage leads to these talks collapsing?
Well, the German government says the talks will resume tomorrow. One analyst that I spoke to in Germany this morning, however, said that he thought that officials in the German Economics Ministry, who oppose any state aid for GM Europe, were gaining traction and that there is a possibility that the German government will walk away from this deal. Now, if GM Europe collapses, that would involve the loss of 25,000 jobs in Germany in an election year, so it does seem unlikely.
So who's the likely successful bidder for GM Europe now?
Well, ultimately, this depends on GM, the parent company, and the U.S. administration. But Germany, since it is offering very substantial loan guarantees, has a crucial role here. And it looks as if the German government has whittled the four bidders that we started with at the beginning of this week down to two: Fiat, the Italian carmaker, and the Canadian car parts company, Magna.
This is not just a German problem. I understand the European Union is in on these talks, too.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about 25,000 jobs in Germany, but 50,000 in all. So there's undoubtedly a great deal of concern about this. And it does seem, in spite of a lot of the theories and the observations that are floating around, it does seem very likely that both the European Union and the individual governments will get together and will stump up some cash to prevent GM Europe from collapsing and going out of business altogether.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
The problems of the automakers are becoming the problems of the auto parts suppliers. The supplier Visteon today filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection for its U.S. operations. Treasury bond yields are rising fast. That could signal inflation and higher borrowing costs, not what investors like to contemplate. The S&P 500 lost almost 2% yesterday. European markets are down 1% now. Asian markets ended mixed on the day. President Obama said yesterday nearly $500 million of the federal stimulus money will go to geothermal and solar energy development. But with the recession weakening demand for energy of all kinds, the future is not looking so green. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Global electricity use is expected to fall this year for the first time since World War II, according to a report out this week from the International Energy Agency. And that's a good thing. As people use less energy, less CO2 reaches the atmosphere. But there's a potential downside. The recession may pave the way for a dirtier future. UC Berkeley energy policy expert Dan Kamen says tight credit has made investments in renewable energy less appealing.
During a down economic time, known investments, whether those are natural gas or coal, look much more attractive.
Even President Obama's stimulus package may not be enough to give clean energy a boost. Absent a mandatory cap on carbon emissions of the kind now under debate in Congress, there's less incentive for investors to back renewables. That may help explain why the U.S. government now predicts global emissions will jump nearly 40% over the next two decades. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The nonprofit group Families USA reports this morning the average family pays an extra $1,000 a year for health insurance to subsidize the uninsured. That's because doctors and hospitals charge insured patients more to make up for the care they give that doesn't get reimbursed. This report bolsters the argument of those who want to reform health care, and the first big fight has already begun, as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Back in January, even former rivals seemed ready to work together to cover the uninsured.
Because quality, affordable health care can save money and make businesses more competitive, so they can invest in innovation.
Drug and insurance companies, unions, and health care reformers paid for that ad. But the time for making nice may be over. Recently, the CEO of Eli Lilly, John Lechleiter, railed against even the thought of a public health insurance plan to fill in the gaps.
I don't think that American patients would or should accommodate themselves to the long waits for care, limited options, and other forms of rationing that inevitably accompany government health care monopolies.
Lechleiter's worried that any move to offer a publicly run insurance program could push private insurance companies out of business. How a public option would work is still being fleshed out, but if the plan were open to all,
we'd get about 119 million people moving from that coverage to the public plan.
That's John Shields at the Lewin Group. He says a broad government plan could act like Walmart and force doctors and hospitals to lower their prices. That would save billions and undercut private insurers on costs. But would it be a bad thing if people chose the government plan?
I think the physicians and hospitals will think it's a problem.
So will insurance companies and drug companies, all of whom could lose billions. Karen Davenport's at the Center for American Progress. She says it's unlikely a public insurance option would completely crush the private insurance market. Just look at Germany, she says, which has a generous publicly run program and also healthy competition.
There is a robust private market in Germany, too, and I think we'll do as well as that or better.
Davenport says private competitors will prevent any public health insurance plan from becoming a bureaucratic nightmare. But a public option could help cover the uninsured and hold down costs. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Appreciate you tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.